I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout.
Today is Saturday, July 31st, and we're talking about communication. Language and our perception of it has gone through some big changes over the last decade, especially as we communicate more and more over text. As you may have noticed, the smallest punctuation marks can now make the difference between sounding friendly or angry. So we're talking about this evolution with the grammar girl herself, Mignon Fogarty. She's celebrating 15 years of her award-winning podcast. She has also written 7 books about grammar, and she's even shared her grammar expertise with Oprah Winfrey. Mignon explains the common mistakes we all make and whether it's ever okay to correct someone else's grammar. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy's Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Hi, Mignon. Thanks for joining us on the Newsworthy.
Hi, Lacey. Thanks for having me.
So explain to our listeners how you ended up as the grammar girl.
I was a science writer and editor, and I noticed my editing clients were making the same mistakes over and over again, you know, mixing up that versus which, for example. And I had already fallen in love with podcasting. And I thought, well, what if I made a little podcast with a quick and dirty tip about writing, grammar tip every week? You know, maybe that would be a fun thing to do. And much to my surprise, it took off and became, you know, incredibly popular. It was number 2 at iTunes, now Apple Podcasts, after about 6 weeks, and just kept growing. And, you know, from there, I knew I was onto something. I believed it was the format, and I started the Quick and Dirty Tips podcast network.
How has language changed since you started Grammar Girl?
It has changed a lot, and faster in ways than I expected. I think the biggest change has been the acceptance of non-gendered pronouns. You know, it was something people were talking about 15 years ago. It was certainly not a new idea, but it was something that still faced a lot of resistance. And a couple of months ago, someone on my team said, maybe you should talk about, you know, the singular they. And I said, oh, I am sick to death of the singular they. Like, do we need to talk about it anymore? It's a given that we should all use it in the language world. It's in every style guide. It's nobody has a problem with it. And, you know, realizing how much that had changed over the time that I've been doing the podcast was a revelation. And then I also found out I'm wrong, that there are still a lot of people opposed to it. And it is still good to talk about it. But, you know, to me, the acceptance has been extraordinary over what is a short period of time for language. It was fascinating. Another thing that really surprised me is how important punctuation has become, because we're doing so much more texting and writing Slack messages and emails. You know, younger people in particular attach emotion to punctuation. You know, it took me a long time to accept this, but younger people see the period at the end of a sentence as being hostile. Ellipses, to someone my age, it's something, you know, it's just trailing off a conversation, you know, showing a pause between ideas. But my understanding is to younger people, it can mean, well, there's been something left unsaid and that something is probably bad.
Do you attribute that to things like texting, autocorrect, other technologies?
I do. I think that we're forced into writing such short messages, which sort of makes it hard to include nuance sometimes. So every little bit, including the punctuation, conveys a bigger semantic meaning. I think that we're all using exclamation points more than we used to. I know they were quite unacceptable when I started. They were seen as childish or overly enthusiastic. And now business people regularly put exclamation points in messages to make sure that we seem friendly and enthusiastic. And that just was not something that was done 10 or 15 years ago.
Why is grammar still so important?
Well, I think because we are communicating so much more in text, it's rare to pick up the phone and just call someone and talk it through. Everyone is trying to keep it brief and in text. And so that's how you're putting yourself out there. That's how you're making your points. And so getting it right, making sure you're clearly understood is just critical.
What would you say are the top three most common grammar mistakes?
I think people misuse commas a lot because they're the most complicated punctuation mark. There are so many different ways to use them. I see people capitalize words that don't need to be capitalized a lot, especially in business writing. You know, people will say, our salespeople are important to us, and they'll capitalize salespeople. And we don't capitalize nouns like that in English, even if we think they're important. You know, we capitalize the specific names of places and people and things, and a generic descriptor like salespeople shouldn't be capitalized. So that's an extremely common mistake. I think the other mistake people make is more generalized. And I think I would say just writing too much, writing things that are too long, not putting in enough paragraph breaks. You know, we're scanning text, and those paragraph breaks help readers, you know, stay on task. You can, so your eyes can kind of glaze over when a paragraph gets too long. So I think not breaking things up and making them easy for readers is a big mistake. You know, using bulleted lists. You should use bulleted lists when you can because they're easier for people to read and follow.
You mentioned the comma. So I want to talk about some grammar rules that prompt disagreements, specifically using the Oxford comma. Why are there parts of speech that are controversial, and why isn't grammar universal?
This is huge. So the Oxford comma is a style choice, but a lot of people were taught that using it or not using it is a rule. And so people see other people doing it a different way and think they're wrong. People who follow the AP style book typically don't use an Oxford comma in a simple sentence. We're talking about the comma before the final and in a series. So your red comma, white comma, and blue is that comma before the and. Most other style guides say you should always use it. And I prefer it, but you know, the hill I will die on is that it's not a rule. It is a style choice. And it depends on which style guide you follow, whether you should use that comma. Language does turn out to be that way, that a lot of things are just choices and not hard and fast rules. Some things you use a singular verb with a singular noun is a rule. You know, Bob is going to the store, not Bob are going to the store. That's a grammar rule. But commas are, much to many people's dismay, are a lot more squidgy.
Well, is it good to correct someone else's use of the comma or someone else's grammar?
Not unless you're an editor. I think it's quite rude, actually. It would be like going up to someone and saying, wow, like, why did you decide to wear that sweater today? It's hideous.
Still ahead, how do new words get added to the dictionary? Mignon explains why even the most informal slang terms become official. Plus, her message for parents and students as they get ready to head back to school. But first, here's your main host, Erica Mandy, with today's sponsors.
In so many aspects of life, it's important to know the why, to ask why you want to do something, not just what you'll do to get there. Well, Noom wants you to focus on why you want to change your relationship with food and why you have certain health goals. From there, Noom uses a cognitive behavioral approach to empower you with the knowledge to build smarter, more sustainable habits and behaviors. Noom knows one size does not fit all and that everybody's journey is different. So you let them know your personal health goals, and Noom customizes a program just for you. I appreciate that Noom says no food is completely off limits because it's about balance. And you know, I love balance in news and in nutrition. In fact, Noom has published more than 25 peer-reviewed scientific journal articles about the science that goes into their approach to helping people achieve a healthier way of life. They combine an evidence-based approach with empathy. So start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, you can sign up for your trial at Noom, spelled Noom.com/newsworthy. This episode is also made possible thanks to our next sponsor. Have you tried America's number one meal kit yet? With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. No taking up your entire Sunday to meal plan, no grocery store runs required, and no greasy takeout night after night. Look, I don't know a lot about how to cook, and frankly, I don't like spending a lot of time in the kitchen. But with HelloFresh, I always enjoy the process of cooking, and I'm always super impressed with how tasty the meals are. In fact, all the recipes have been designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure both deliciousness and simplicity. So you should give it a try, too. Go to HelloFresh.com/Newsworthy14 and use code Newsworthy14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. And HelloFresh offers the flexibility you need to easily change your delivery day, your food preferences, or your plan size. And, of course, you can always skip a week whenever you need. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/Newsworthy14 and use code Newsworthy14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping.
Thanks, Erica. Now back to my conversation with grammar girl Mignon Fogarty. I want to ask you about words now that are added to dictionaries each year. This year, we got words like co-working, crowdfunding, they were added. What is the process for adding new words? And is it important that popular words and phrases become official and become part of the official dictionary?
Words get into the dictionary when they're used a lot. So lexicographers who work at dictionaries, you know, they spend a lot of time reading and they find words, new words, and then they look to see, is this word being used by real people in real situations? You know, they look at everything from the New Yorker to copy on cereal boxes. And when they see a word that they feel has been used enough, then they add it to the dictionary, because the idea is that when people encounter a word, they might want to look it up and see what it means. You know, a lot of people view a word getting into the dictionary as somehow the dictionary blessing that word, sanctioning it, saying this is now an official word. And that's not really how people who work at dictionaries view it. They view it as, this is a word that is out in the wild being used, and if someone looks it up, we want them to be able to know what it means. And I think you asked about slang or new words. One thing they're trying to determine is this a word that is going to be used for the next 2 months and then nobody's ever going to use it again? Or is this a word that has staying power that's worth putting in our dictionary, because in a year from now or 10 years from now, people are still going to be looking it up and wanting to know what it means. It's not just a flash in the pan. So that's sort of where they try to draw the line and distinction on that. But it's always fascinating to see the new words that get added.
The opposite of that, what about words or parts of speech that maybe disappear or just change meaning over time?
Right. That is also fascinating. One of my favorite podcast episodes is why we stopped using the word thou. Right? People used to use thou. It was actually an informal pronoun, which is the opposite of what most people think. It was a pronoun that people used to refer to someone in a lower class or to show an intimate relationship. Like parents would call their children thou, and then children, as a sign of respect, would call their parents you. Then during this time in England, when social class was becoming much more fluid, people started becoming afraid of referring to other people as thou because they didn't want to accidentally insult them by implying that they were of a lower class. So that was at least part of what caused people to stop using thou. There are still dialects in England where people do use the word thou, which surprised me when I heard that. I had listeners call in and tell me that, which was fantastic. But that's one way that words can fall out of use, is there can be almost some sort of stigma attached to them, or confusion, or maybe they're just about things we don't talk about as much anymore.
As parents and students are thinking about back to school, what else should they keep in mind about grammar?
They should keep in mind that it's always great to look things up. Nobody expects you to know everything. I still look things up every day. I have a huge reference library and I'm constantly looking things up because it really is a lot to remember. If you don't know exactly how to write something, don't be intimidated. Don't feel like you're not smart enough. Just realize that there's a lot to know, and there are wonderful places that you can look it up and refresh your memory or learn it for the first time. I think recognizing that language can be fun also really helps. I think a lot of people, when they start looking into the etymology, the origin of words, they become charmed and get more interested in language. One of my favorite stories is the origin of the word harbinger. A harbinger is something that forebodes or foretells something that's going to happen in the future. And it turns out that the royal court in Britain used to have a position called the knight harbinger, who went ahead of the royal court when they were traveling and secured lodging, and, you know, made sure the village was ready to receive the king. It was the knight harbinger who sort of foretold the arrival of the king. And that's why the word harbinger now foretells the arrival of many things. Our language is just filled with fascinating stories like that. So embrace those stories and just learn to love language.
As we mentioned, you are celebrating 15 years of the Grammar Girl. So what is next for your brand?
Oh, amazing. I mean, 15 more years, I hope. I'm really focused on the podcast right now. And, you know, we do the newsletter every week. I've started doing TikTok videos because I think it's important to be where people are. Anywhere that people want to learn about language, I want to be there to help and to inspire them. As the world changes, I find myself in new places doing new things, and that keeps it fresh and exciting too.
Thank you to Mignon Fogarty for taking the time to share her expertise. You can check out her Grammar Girl podcast and the other shows from the Quick and Dirty Tips Network wherever you get your podcasts. We also have a link in our show notes. That'll do it for today. We'll be back in your feed Monday with our next news roundup. We bring you the day's top news in about 10 minutes every Monday through Friday. Until then, have a great weekend.